All right. Shalom, everybody. Shalom. Welcome to the Shalom Messianic Bible College, Baruch Haba. And we are here live at Soldiers for Christ in Long Beach, California. It is a beautiful day outside. The sun is shining. It must be 71 degrees mm-hmm. out there. I go to the beach after 9. But we are here and we are ready to get started on this next class. And today's class is a collection of different understandings that I want you to have when it comes to the study of gematria. Gematria really, the typologies, the prophecies fulfilled, but what really sealed it for me as studying Hebrew and knowing God and going, wow, was gematria. Because it takes a lot of intelligence and God's patterns in scripture for God to show you, see, Yeshua was there and Yeshua was there and I put this here for that. And all these numbers are so perfect that it just gets to the point that you go, how did God, I still don't know how you do that. Is he just a computer genius or what? But how do you write a legible paragraph and you say within these 1,000 words that I'm going to use, every 22nd letter is going to spell Yeshua is my name. And every 10th letter is going to spell I'm coming soon, you know. And he just throughout the Hebrew text, he's putting codes inside of the scriptures. He's numerical values related to those codes, because he just doesn't use any number, but he says. So it's mind-boggling. It's kind of like trying to figure out the human body or the creation of the universe and its mathematical equations. You just go, I'll leave that to somebody else because I'm not going to mess my brain up, right? I always tell Pastor Ben that every time I think I get to the bottom of all of this studying, since I've come into Hebrew, every time you think you're at the bottom, You put your foot down and there's 9 more feet of water, you know, and it's like now you got to go to a deeper level and a deeper level. And I just think that God is just inexhaustible. I don't think we could ever really know how deep the level of his word is and his intellect is. So welcome to Hebrew. I call Rishon Messianic Bible College. Rishon just means first. Messianic, Jesus is the Messiah, people, Bible College, because I do believe that more than teaching you just to speak, read, and write Hebrew, and if you were here, that would be an easier thing to do. But since you're not here, I gave you materials that can help you along as you're learning Biblical Hebrew in both. Some of my people have finished the first book. We'll get the second book together and so that people can start doing their second book. And if you finish the book, you get, of course, a lot of credits when it comes to the finals. Okay, I'm going to pray and then we're going to start class. I want to pray for Linda Sorcy today because she's going to have her chemo. And she was at the hospital. I talked to her earlier. And that it would not wear her out. We're going to pray for her right now. And then we're going to also pray for our little the young lady, Shannon, Gwendolyn's daughter, who was having problems with her kidney. But I just believe God is going to heal and do great things with her daughter and that kidney, in Jesus' name. So let me pray for them first. Father God, we just want to take time right now, Father God, to pray for Linda, Father God, as she's at the doctor right now, Father God, that the chemo, Father God, will not wear out her body, Father God, and that you will protect her, Father God, protect her cells, Father God, protect her blood cells, Father, remove the whatever's in her, Father God, that is not like you. In Jesus' name, we just thank you for her joy, Father God, for your son, Jesus Christ. And we pray for little Shannon as she, as you continue to touch her body and improve her kidneys and her health. In Jesus' name we pray. And now let's pray in. Avanu Shaba Shabaim Yit Kadeshim Ka. Tavo Mefoteka Yi Aseo Tzanaka. Be Aretke Ashirne Asa Be Shamaim. Tinlano Hayom Lekumukenu. Usilak Lano Et Ashmetenu. Ke Asher Solehim Nabnu Le Asher Ashmelanu. Vialtirienu Lodema Sa Ki Im Hatzilano Min Hara. Kilaha Hamamlaka. Vehagivra, vehativ eret leolame leolamim. Amen.
Amen.
And bon alech. Let's go. Let's get started. Okay, today I want to introduce you to one of my favorite people. I won't get to meet him till he's in heaven, because he's already in the kingdom. And his name is Yaakov Ramzo. Who's ever heard of Yaakov Ramzo? Yaakov Ramzo is a guy who wrote two very important books. And he was a guy into Bible codes. But he wasn't just interested in Bible codes. He wanted to see, is Jesus' name encoded throughout the Bible? So he wrote two books. And one, which I suggest you read both of them. I don't try to advocate people buying books, especially if you don't have the funds to do it. But I do want to introduce you to who the artist is so you can know who he is. And so he has this one book, and it's called Yeshua Is My Name. You can see that. He passed away, I guess. I was a pastor when he passed away, so it wasn't that long ago, but he authored this book, and Grant Jeffries, of course, who was also a great man of God, and he also authored this book right here, which is just called Yeshua. And this book, it says, the name of Jesus revealed in the Old Testament. Okay? And so these two books have helped me to understand not only is Yeshua relevant to the New Testament, but all of these codes of finding Yeshua and his name and things about who he is was all encoded in every book of the Bible from Genesis to Malachi. Every book has some code about Yeshua.
Wow.
And that's what he discovered. Now, Yaakov Ramzo was a guy that he didn't use computers. And he is Jewish, and he didn't use computers, and how he was able to write these books without computers. I'm sure later he got a computer and was able to do so. But I know the first book that he wrote, he didn't use computers. He was counting. And his wife was helping him count and check things, okay? Check the balances. So the whole book is just to let anybody who is honest, rather Jewish or English or whatever language, look at the Hebrew text and find Yeshua's name from Genesis to Malachi and different messages. Let's look at a couple of those messages before we get started today. Let's look at this one first. Let's go to Psalms 22. Psalms 22. And we'll read verse 11 through 18. Because in the verse 11 through 18, every 26 letters will give us the name of Yeshua. Let's see what it says. Verse 11. It says, do not be far from me, for trouble is near. This is Yeshua on the cross. And there is no one to help. Many bulls have surrounded me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions tearing their prey open their mouth wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. Yea, you lie me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me, and a band of evil men have encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare at me and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. Okay, that's verse 11 through 18. Nowhere in those verses do we see the word Jesus or Yeshua, right? But every 26 letters, starting with the first Aleph, every 26 letters says sign for Yeshua, or the sign of Yeshua. This is the sign of Yeshua. So every 26 letters. Now, why would God use every 26 letters? Because the name Yahweh in Hebrew is 26. So every 26 letters, he says in that verse, okay, in Psalms 22, 11 through 18, he says, sign for Yeshua. This is the sign for Yeshua. What's the sign? They'll pierce his hands and his feet. Evil people have surrounded him. As he's on the cross, he said he can see, he can count all of his ribs. Okay, he can count all of his bones. And it says, they divided my garments and cast lots for them. And that's exactly what they were doing while he was on the cross. So every 26 letters in that says the sign of Yeshua. The sign of Yeshua. You're going to get this information so you can look at it, because I'm going to give it to Pastor Ben. I know I'll be putting in the work. I'm sorry, Pastor Ben.
It's okay.
Okay, now, this is also found in the verse from 10 to 17. This same thing is found also in that verse. Okay, so now I want to look at another. Oh, here's our favorite one. Well, let's go to Proverbs first. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30.
What verse?
And we're going to be verse, I believe, 4. Let me see. 4 through 6. Verse 4 through 6 in Proverbs 30, verse 4 through 6. Okay, now. It says this, and watch this. In 30, verse 4 through 6. Now listen, this is what I said, okay. I use this when I talk to a Muslim, because they said God has no son. Okay? Because that's the base of Islam's doctrine, is that God doesn't have a son. Okay? So I read this. It says, who has gone up to heaven and come down? Who has gathered up the wind in the hollow of his hand? Who has wrapped up the waters in his cloak? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and the name of his son? Tell me, surely you know. So, it says, tell me, surely you know. Every word of God is flawless.
Yes.
He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his word,
or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. Okay? So that's Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4 through 6. Now, when you read this verse to an imam, the last verse is when they really get mad. Because it says, do not add to his word, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. And I said, in this verse, God says he does have a son. And he says, what is his name? Surely, God saying, definitely, absolutely true that you know what his name is. Okay? And his name is Yeshua. His name is Jesus Christ. Or in Spanish, what? Jesus. Okay? But God has a son, and his son has a name, and the scripture says, surely you know. And if you add to his word, he says, it's trouble for you. Okay? Now,
is that when they threw you out?
That's when they threw me. Well, that wasn't the time they threw me out. That was just a question day. Now, inside of that passage, okay, you have something very strange that goes on. And it says, and it says here, Yeshua, HaMashiach, okay? So it goes like down, it goes Yeshua, then across it goes HaMashiach, and then underneath this verse. So it's letting you read the verse so you can see. So Yeshua going downward is his name, HaMashiach, or is a cross. And then, of course, and what is his son's name? Okay, so this is, and what is his son's name? And it says here, Yeshua Hashem. So it says Yeshua is his name. Yeshua is his name. So in that passage, it says who you're talking about here when it says what is his name and what is who is he and what is his son's name? Surely you know. It says Yeshua Hashem. Yeshua is his name. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4.
Can I show them that?
Yes, you can show them this. We're gonna send you guys all of this information.
Yeah.
Because I want you to have it. It's part of becoming a great Hebrew student of the messianic word of God, because we have to know that God already had a plan that Yeshua was coming into the world.
Amen.
Now, my third one is, of course, Isaiah chapter 53. And let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. And we have in here one of my absolute favorite. And that is this passage of Isaiah 53. Now, you know, Isaiah 53 is one of these passages in the Bible that is forbidden to read by the rabbis. So if you're with a rabbi and you say, okay, let's read Isaiah 53, it's called the Peshach Ashur, which means forbidden chapter. They forbid you to read it. They'll read every passage in the Torah, but they do not read Isaiah 53.
And they'll write it in there, but they won't read it.
They won't read it. It's a passage they call the Perak Ashur. It is a forbidden chapter. Okay? So and so people get mad when they actually read it and they're Jewish, because as you're reading it, you obviously know, wait a minute, that's talking about the Messiah. And it's saying things that he's going to do, right? Inside of this passage is every 20th letter, starting with the Yod, in verse 8 says, Yeshua is my name. So as you're reading this in Hebrew, every 20th letter is declaring to you who this chapter is about. Yeshua is my name. Yeshua smile. Yeshua smile. Yeshua smile. And here is it. Here it is what it says. Verse 8, we'll start here. It says, and it's amazing that it, the every 20th letter starts in verse 8, which is Jesus's. So it says here, by oppression and false judgments was he taken away. And of his generation, who considered? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave among the wicked and his tomb among the rich. Although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to crush him to crush him by sickness. If his soul shall consider it a reward for guilt, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the purpose of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Okay, so in that verse, in those verses, okay, is Yeshua is my name. Yeshua smile. Yeshua smile. Every 20th letter. Okay? Now, the reason why those I showed you those books is because if this happened, if you could pull this out every maybe once or twice in scripture, you could say, okay, it's just a happenstance that it happened to be here. But what Yaakov Ramzel does is he shows you that this permeates the whole Tanakh, okay? Not just the five books of the Torah, but the entire Tanakh is saturated, letting you know who God's son is and his purpose. Okay? So let's talk about the Torah. Let's talk about the Torah for a minute. This is why I have three English book Bibles in my bag, and I have one Tanakh, which is has Hebrew on one side, English on the other side. Now, I keep the three because I read the Hebrew and I know what it says in the Hebrew. Then I look in the three English Bibles to see which one is closest to the Hebrew. That's how I study. You understand? So some people may say, don't use the NIV. I don't care about it being the NIV. I'm studying from the Hebrew.
Right.
Okay? And the Hebrew is going to tell me exactly what the scripture says. Then I'm going to look through my three English books, whether it's the King James or the American Standard or the NIV, which one comes closest to the actual language of the Hebrew. And that's the one I'm going to read to you because I want you to know exactly what is written in the Hebrew, okay?
Amen.
Sometimes all of them miss, and then I have to tell you this word actually means this, okay? And so, because I realize that Satan is a deceiver. Okay, now, it says here, the five, isn't it something that you have five books that start off the Tanakh, okay? You have these five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy. And then when you get to the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, you have five books. You have Matthew.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and then Acts, and then you're done with the gospel story, right? So it's the five for them and five for us that gives us the beginning of the story, okay?
Amen.
Now, it says, the word Torah comes from the root word yara, meaning to shoot an arrow or to hit the mark. Properly used, the word means teaching or instruction. Teaching is associated with the Holy Spirit, and God himself is described as a teacher. He taught Moses what to do and to say in Exodus 4, verse 15. And it is clear that the Lord assumed the title rabbi and perform much of his ministry as a teacher, because they all would call him rabbi, okay? And so Jesus is a teacher. The Torah is written to be to teach us the word of God, okay? Yeah. It is now the five books of the Torah is the base of the word of God. So in those five books, you're going to find what are the rules, what we can't step out of, what are the rules concerning the law, what are the rules concerning a relationship with God, what are the typologies that are there, because all of them are going to keep us, give us a base, okay? Because if Adam receives a wife, okay, and God puts Adam to sleep before he dies, okay? I mean, God puts Adam to sleep, and then while Adam is asleep, God slits his side, and then out of his side creates him a bride. Then God takes that bride, and the Torah says he brings the bride to Adam. Now I know when I see the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ, he's going to be put to sleep. He's going to be pierced in his side, okay? And from what comes from his side, he's going to create his bride. And now, would it be wrong for the second Adam to go and get his own bride? That would not follow with the base of the story, because we learned the base in Torah. The base says God delivers the bride to Adam. So now I have a base. I know that God, which is the Holy Spirit in the world, is going to take the bride and deliver us up to the Son, which is the second Adam, okay?
Amen.
And those are the basis of all the studies. And so if somebody's trying to teach you something and it's not in the base, then you just go, that's unbiblical, because it doesn't follow the structure of and the pattern of Scripture. Amen. Okay? Same thing with the five books of the gospel. If you stick with the five books of the gospel, you'll learn what it takes to be saved and everything like that. And then you don't veer from it. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Now, these five books are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Now, let's look how precise this thing is. Okay? Let's look at. Okay, now watch this. Genesis, in the book of Genesis, okay, there are 78,064 letters. See, they count every letter. Because I'm telling you, once you're commissioned as a scribe, you've got to know this. You can't write us. You can't. These scrolls are written, okay? And they're checked. And if something's wrong, they're tossed and they're burned. Okay? So, in the Torah, okay, it says here, there are 304,805 letters. So whoever's writing this, once you're finished, you better keep a count, because we got to count those letters to make sure that your book doesn't, because you can't add to the letters or the words. You can't add to the words. Okay? There are 79,847 words. There are 5,845 verses. There are 187 chapters. Okay? So everything is counted. Okay? So now, if I'm a scribe, I go back over this. Now, I'm reading this because I got it from a Hebrew site. And it says, no letter, when they're writing, no letter may touch another one. If only one letter is missing, the whole Torah is not kosher, meaning it now has to be burned. Okay? The whole thing's messed up. Like, we get a few words wrong in English. We just go, well, we'll look it up in the Strong's.
Right.
They get a word or any letter wrong.
Burn it.
It's not kosher. It needs to be burned. Okay? Because it's going to distort what God is saying. This is how God has protected his word. Okay? So.
When you say kosher, Pastor, what do you mean kosher?
Kosher is like, you know, they don't, they, a pagan food, like a pig, is not kosher. It's something that doesn't fall under the line of God as being holy now.
Like unclean.
Right, unworthy. It's unclean. It's unworthy. It's unholy. So the word is kosher. Okay, now that you know that about the scriptures, we want to see here that there are 5,845 verses. Now God does an incredible thing here with these verses. And so we have to go to Deuteronomy to find out what he does. Because remember, the God that you serve wrote the Bible. The God that created your body wrote the Bible. He knows how many cells. The God that that even counted the number of hairs on your head. He goes, I know how many there are. You know, there's 500. He probably just went off the number, and you go, that was. You know what I mean? It's like, but God, He created the universe, and people still haven't figured out the mathematics of it, nor the distance of it, or how many galaxies there are. You know what I mean? So we're talking about God wrote a Bible, okay? God decides to write a book. So you know it's got to be really good, right? So when we come to the 5,708th verse of the Torah, that leads us to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 4 and 5 would be 5,707th verse and the 5,708th verse. And those two verses are going to tell us something. And what do they tell us? It says here, if any of thine be driven out unto the utmost parts of the heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. So in the 5,707th verse, God says, if you get driven out of your land, this is God's promise. I'm going to bring you back. 5,708th verse. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. Okay? So one, which is 5,707, stands for the year 1947. Okay? 5,708 is for what our year would be, 1948. So that means in the verse that says for 1947, he says, if you get driven out of your homes, this is my promise to you, I will bring you back. In Psalms, which is the 19th book of the Bible, in verse 47, in chapter 47 of Psalms, at the end of that chapter, it reads that God caused all of the leaders of the world to come and meet and make a decision concerning Abraham's seed. Mm-hmm. And what was that decision that they made in 1947? To give them the land back. Yeah. Well, in the 5707 verse, which is 1947, God promises, wherever you're at, I'm going to give you back your land.
Yes.
In 1948, which is 5708, it says here, and the Lord will bring thee into the land. So now in 48, he says, I'm going to bring you into the land. Okay? So in the 5708, which is 1948, In that verse of the Torah, he says, for 1948, I'm going to bring you into the land.
Amen.
Why is 1948 so important? I mean, God is promising us that he's going to bring us into the land back in 1948. I wasn't going to write this, but I want you to know, because it's very important that you know the importance of 1948. Okay. 10 in Hebrew is perfect order. Okay. 9 in Hebrew is judgment. 4 in Hebrew is who? The door.
Mm-hmm.
8 in Hebrew is what? New beginning.
Yes.
Okay. The perfect order of judgment. Okay. From Yeshua, and it will be a new beginning.
Wow.
Okay. So the perfect order of judgment, God will judge. The perfect order of judgment will be the door.
That's 1948.
The new beginning. That's 1948. So God's perfect order to do this was what? 1948. How many constellations are there in the sky that tell you the story of Yeshua? 48.
48 constellations.
Wow. 48. How do I spell star in Hebrew? Because there's 48 constellations that's going to tell me the gospel. So I go 20, then I go 6, then I go 20 again, and the bet is 2. So to say the word star in Hebrew is also 48. So when you put the stars in the sky, it was to tell you what? The story of the door, Yeshua, who's going to give you a new beginning, is the star constellation, which there are 48 star constellations.
Yes.
There are 12 majors, and each one has 3 daycons. So all together, the whole gospel is told with 48 separate story constellations in the star. And God made the word star in Hebrew spelling of it be 48, so that you would know and be able to connect that God is doing this. Okay, so God didn't just come up with the number 48. He's doing 48 according to his own numeric structure. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Okay, so we know that happened. Okay? So that means Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 4 came true, because the leaders of the nations came together and voted to give them back the land and keep the promise that God made for them. Then we know Deuteronomy 30, verse 5 came true, because God brought them back into the land in 1948. Okay. What is the next thing that's going to happen here? After they come back into the land, what's going to happen? So we count what? Let's count 19 verses ahead. Now we're going to count from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 5. I'm now going to count 19 verses. Why? Because 19 years later, something else is going to happen in Israel. And what's going to happen? The Six-Day War. And during the Six-Day War, they're going to get back their land, which is what? They didn't have Jerusalem when they went back. They only had Judah, right? They only have the land, but they didn't have possession of Judah and some of the other areas. They didn't have possession. Their enemy still was holding on to part of their land, plus their capital city, which was Jerusalem, right?
Yes.
So, as we read this scripture, this is the 19th verse. It's the 5-7-27, which stands for the year 1967. And it says, and the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the king of the Amorites, who he destroyed along with their land. So, what happened? They fought a war. Sihon and Og, the king of the Amorites, they fought a war, And when they fought that war, they took back land that God had promised to the Jewish people. That happens 19 years after in the scriptures. So that means God is following a pattern.
Yes.
Okay? He's now following a pattern. That now he's told you he's going to, he promised you in 1947. Now he says, I'm going to put you back in the land in 1948 or 5708. Now we get to the 5727 verse, 19 verses later, and he says, now there's going to be a war and you're going to win back land that originally belonged to you anyway. And that's what he did with Og and the king of the Amorites. They won the war. So we see a pattern here. It seems like the same thing that happened in modern time happened during the time in Deuteronomy.
Amen.
So now what is the next thing that we're looking for? We're looking for 50 years from 1967, which is two very important years, right? 47, 48, 2017, 2018.
Yes.
And that ends the book of Psalms till you come to the letters. Okay? So, we go to the next. We count forward from Deuteronomy 31, verse 4, and we count 50 letters ahead. So now we're counting 50 verses ahead, and we come to verse 5777 and 5778. Deuteronomy 24 and 25. And here's what it says. I will send wasting famine against them, consuming pestilence and deadly plagues. I will send against them the fangs of the wild beasts, the venom of vipers that glide in the dust. In the street, the sword will make them childless. In their homes, terror will reign. Young men and young women will perish. Infants, gray-haired men, and it says, so it says all these people will perish. Okay, now, as we read this, in the 50th verse after 1967 verse, it seems to say that there is anguish and trouble that's going to come upon the world. Okay? Anguish and trouble that's going to come upon the world. And so we're in the middle of this. We saw last year was a crazy year, but there was no rapture. And now we're in 2018. And so is this judgment, is the scriptures of Deuteronomy going to line up with the judgments as God has laid them out? They've done it twice perfectly in 1947, 48. It did it perfectly in 5727 with 1967, and now we're here 50 years later, and we're reading two verses that are saying judgment is about to come. Okay?
Go ahead. Said, Gary said he's a little lost. Can you kind of sum up what you're trying to say? Because he kind of got lost there.
Yes, Gary. This is what I want you to do. I want you to look at the board, and I want you to see what we're writing here. But we're going to make it simple, because if Gary doesn't understand, maybe someone else does. Okay. In Israel right now, it is the year 5778, right? It is the year 5778. This is what year it is in Israel right now. So their year, that's not our year. This is completely different from our year, right?
Amen.
So in our year, this would be 2018. Okay? So now, when it was 57, I messed up there. When it was 5707 in Israel, it was 1947 for us. When it was 5708 in Israel, for us it was 1948. The 5707 verse in the Torah, it says, I'm promising you, wherever you're at, I'm going to give you back your land. In the 5708 verse in the Torah in Hebrew, it says, I will bring you back into the land. Okay? So, because there are like 5,884 verses in the Torah, but God seems to have taken these two to tell you of a prophetic event that's going to happen. Then God says, well, after they go back into the land, I'm going to cause them to win back Jerusalem. So now we take this and we say, let's count 19 verses ahead. When we go to 5727, which is 1967. And in this verse it says, I'm going to win a war for you against kings and give you back land that originally belonged to you. 1967, they attacked Israel, they won a war and won back Jerusalem and other parts of Israel that belonged to them. Same thing happened. So that means God is on a pattern. Now after this would be the Jubilee, which would be 2017, so we're counting 50 years ahead. Let me look what the year, oh, I already know what the year was. It was 5777. So I'm going to look at this verse in the Torah, because as I'm counting verses, I'm going to look at that verse and see what that verse says. This verse says judgment is coming. In the 5778 verse, 2018, it says judgment is coming. So now we're looking at.
So the verses are on the left, and the years that relate to us are on the right.
The verses are here, but the verses coincide with the year for Israel.
Yeah.
Because right now it's 5778 in Israel. So the verses coincide with what year they are in.
Wow.
Okay?
That's crazy.
So he's using these verses to tell you what's going to happen in the future in those years. What's going to happen in the future in that year. And this year, I'm going to promise you, I'm going to keep my promise to give you the land. And that's what they did. In 1947, they said, we're going to give the land back to the Jews. In 5708, he says, now you're going to go back into the land. So in 1948, they actually go back into the land. But that's the verse. And wow. That's the year.
Wow.
So this is the verse and the year that it says, now you're going to win a war against kings, and I'm going to give you back your land. The land that they took from you. 1967 is that year, and they fought a war, and they won back Jerusalem. Now what we're looking for is what's going on here.
Yeah.
Because both of these verses say that judgment is coming upon the world. And so that's what we're looking for. We're looking for, when is this going to be completed?
Yeah.
Because we know that spring of 2019 is the end of 2018. So.
But isn't the rapture a type of judgment, Pastor Sandy?
The rapture is a type of judgment, because the rapture is going to distinguish between who is ready and who is not. So it is a judgment. And remember, the rapture removes grace from the world.
Right.
Because we're in a dispensation of grace, and it removes that from the, like, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. So you spell Noah, but Noah backwards, spelled backwards is what? Grace in Hebrew. Okay? So just as grace was removed then, grace will be removed then now. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so it will be as it was in the days of Noah. And the ark, which is who? Christ for us now, is in the world. And is the door open for salvation? It's in the world. Anybody can come upon the in the ark or in the door, which is Yeshua right now,
right,
and have salvation. But at the rapture, the door closes. Okay? So, these are some of the things that I want you to have and to enjoy and to study. And I'm going to give you an assignment. You guys ready for the assignment? Since God puts codes in the Bible that says you can read a verse, but inside of that verse, every 20th letter will say this, and every 15th letter will say Yeshua, I want you to see how hard it is. So this is your assignment. I want you to write a chapter. It can be as long as you want the chapter to be or short as you want the chapter to be. But you have to write a statement. Inside that statement, every seventh letter has to spell your name.
Say it again, Pastor.
Okay, let's do it again. You're going to write a statement. I don't care what the statement is. It has to make sense, though. It can't be like the bird, you know, ran track. You know what I mean? Yeah, it has to be a sentence of some type of common sense, okay? This will be hard to do, and you may rack your brain over doing it, but the purpose of the exercise is to show you that God wrote an entire book, 304,000 words, you know what I mean, 79,000 chapters. And he coded his name, his son's name, who his son will be all throughout the scriptures so that you will know he encoded it. So,
write a statement.
Use however words and stuff, but the statement has to make sense. You can say, hey, I went to the store last night and I saw my brother there and I asked him to buy me a Coca-Cola while he was at the store. Now, if you write that way, every seventh letter has to spell your name, your first name.
Every seventh letter.
Every seventh letter has to spell your name.
So, when you say every seventh letter has to spell their name, you mean in the whole, if they do one word, seven letters, at the end of that, it has
right
to spell their name.
Here, let's do an example of it. Let's do an example of it. Okay. Here we say, some day, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The next letter, someday, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is, we'll start my name right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Someday, so now I know I've counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The seventh letter is now an A.
Ah, yeah.
You see that?
Uh-huh.
So now the seventh letter is an A. I'm encoding my name. Someday a wonderful. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I can't use that word. Why? Because I need an N. So whatever word I use now, the seventh letter would have to be an N because that would spell my name. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So this is what I'm saying. Now, Then I would do 7 more letters, and then it would have to spell my name. But I have to make it a...
Well, don't erase it.
I would have to make a Wonder Null. See, Wonder Null is not...
I'm on a show then.
Yeah. So now we got S. We got the A. Now I'm looking for an N.
And when they get finished with this paragraph, it has to be your name.
It has to be your name, has to be in it. Whatever sentence you write, your name has to be in it. Okay, you can make up the sentence whatever you want, but your name is going to have to be in that sentence. Because I want you to do this as an exercise to show you what God did with 3,304,000 letters and encoded to us Jesus Christ all the way from Genesis to Malachi using this same coding system. And now I'm just giving you 7 letters because it's God's number. Every 7th letter has to spell your name. Make sense? Let it make sense.
Makes sense.
And enjoy it. I mean, enjoy the exercise. You'll get graded. Yeah, I'll give you credit for it, but you get more credit for it if it makes sense. Because when we did this before, people were writing some crazy stuff. It like my blue horse went to the supermarket and ate crackers. And we go, okay, those are all words, but that don't make sense. Okay, it has to make some type of sense.
Then when Mark wants to know, just the first name or the whole name?
Just the first name. If I do the whole name, I don't want to mess you guys up, because last time people were saying, I started it and I quit, Pastor. I just couldn't do it. It was just racking my brain. It just has to spell your first name. So if your first name is Ed, then you get off easy. Now, if your first, we'll say this, your first name has to have, it has to have at least five letters in it, right? S-A-N-D-Y, at least 5 letters in it. If your name is Ed, or you want to spell your name Tyrone, but you want to spell it Ty, you know, so use your whole first name. And in your whole first name, just make sure that every 7th letter, you can underline that letter and it spells your name, okay? And then you'll know what God did throughout the whole Bible, because he encoded all kinds of things throughout the whole Bible. He put his son's name in the Bible, Yeshua Sma, Yeshua the gift, you know, all these things that he put in the scriptures.
And okay. No abbreviating your names.
No abbreviating your name. You can't call your... You can't... If your name is Samuel, you can't say Sam. And if your name is Tyrone, you can't say Ty. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay? So let's pray out. And let's make sure that we get that assignment. You got a whole week to do this.
They don't have to turn it in until it has to be in by Thursday.
Next Thursday. Just have it ready for us by next Thursday. If you need somebody to help you out, you can use a family member and say, help me out. I got to write a sentence or something that makes a statement that makes sense. And every 7th letter has to spell my name. Okay. Okay, so here we go. Let's pray out. And the Lord said, when you are talking to my people and you bless them, make sure when you bless them, you say, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarekaka Adonai Vishmareka, Yair Adonai Panavilecha Vechuneka, Yaseh Adonai Panavilecha Veyasem Lekai Shalom. Lehitriot Beshavuach Haba Hakol Havarim.